Good morning. Welcome to Grace of Christ. As we gather together on this Pentecost Sunday, would you stand for our call to worship? Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Each day proclaim the good news that He saves. Publish His glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things He does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. Standing as you are able as we sing our hymn of praise this morning. So at this time, I have the wonderful privilege of introducing to you our new covenant partners. They sat with me for almost 5 hours last Sunday after church, that time of having pizza with the pastor. So they endured that. They shared their faith journey, professed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The elders who were there were able to confirm upon them to be covenant partners here with Grace of Christ. And so I'm going to read their names to you, all of them. Some of them were at the early service. Some are here at this service. Some will do at another date because they couldn't be here today. And if you're here at this service, if I call your name, come on up here and stand with me. Patricia Ovalle is not here. She was at the first service, and if you came early enough, we baptized her by immersion. But I want to tell you her story real fast. Her daughter, 11-year-old, went to a camp last year with Adams Elementary, our outreach camp that we're doing again this coming weekend. And the daughter came to Christ. God met her there on that mountaintop. She came home and told her mom all about it, said she loved what God is doing at this church, wants her to come. So her mom started coming, Patricia. Patricia then accepted Christ into her life, is now a covenant partner, and was baptized out in the pool out there in between services. So, yeah, God is at work and doing marvelous things. Yeah. You see, it's all about those drops of grace we've been talking about. And, Adams Elementary, get her up to camp. And the ripple effects are at home. And now her mom and her are enjoying being a part of the family of God here at the Body of Christ with Grace. Then here this morning is Terry Beam. There she is. Come on up. And she will be baptized this morning. And she's not going to do it by immersion, but I said I'm going to pour a lot of water on top of her today. Becky Nixon St. John is coming, reactivating reaffirmation of faith. Carrie Sharp, don't believe she was going to be here this morning. Chris Martin was also at the first service. David Hurst is here this morning, reaffirmation of faith. Joe and Allison Campbell aren't able to be with us this morning, but they will be with us at another time and date. And then Song Slavin is here this morning. Come on down, Song. I now remember her name because I couldn't get it all the time, but now I just sing a song, make it happy. Come on up. Good to see you. Can you see that okay? There you go. Go ahead and stand right up here. Yeah. So, and then I'm going to invite our clerk of session, Jeff Arkills, will be here to then. I'm going to ask the questions that they've already answered in the affirmative with your elders. They're going to profess their faith here this morning by answering these questions. And then Jeff, I'm going to baptize Terry first, and then Jeff will have a question for the congregation. Now, if you don't remember the answers to this question, they'll be up on the screen for you. I think they were up there, but maybe not. I'll prompt you. There they are. Who is your Lord and Savior? Will you be Christ's faithful follower, obeying His word and sharing His love? I will. Will you be faithful to Christ by participating in Grace of Christ worship, fellowship, and service on an ongoing basis? I will. As the Lord leads, will you offer your time, talents, and resources in support of the congregation's mission and ministries which advance God's kingdom? If so, say, I will. And now, Terry, look at all this water in here. Just for you. Come on, stand up over here. So, Terry Beam, it is an honor and a privilege to, now upon profession of faith, to baptize you and to seal the profession with this act of grace on your behalf. And so, Terry Beam, child of the covenant, daughter of the King, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the grace of God be sufficient for you today and always, I pray. Amen. Amen. That wasn't so bad, huh? Then Jeff.
Now, congregation, please stand as you're able. Do we, the family of grace of Christ promise to guide and nurture these new grace partners by word and deed as you serve together with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and be faithful partners of His church, do we?
Now stay standing, and then I'm going to ask the three of you to walk down to the very center here and stay there. The rest of you are going to converge upon them, and it'll be like drops of grace turning into an ocean of blessing upon them. We're going to lay hands on them and pray for them. So, Terry, Dave, Song, they won't bite. They're good people. Can I help you? All right, don't be bashful. As they stop in the middle there, go ahead, lay hands on them. We're going to pray for them. And if you can't get close enough to lay your hand on one of them, lay your hand on somebody who's laying a hand on them. Or lay a hand on somebody who's laying a hand on somebody who's laying a hand on them. All right. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank You that You loved us before we ever loved You. We thank You that You called us before we even called upon You. And I thank You now for David, for Terry, for Song, for their response to Your invitation to their this church, but also to Your family. And so, Lord, we are grateful. We commit them to You. We set them apart for You, for Your service. May they continue to grow and to mature in their faith as they have been doing already. And may You continue to use them to proclaim the good news of great joy for the entire world. For we praise You, we love You, we give You glory in the name of Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Congratulations, our new covenant partners.
You may be seated. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before You this day of Pentecost Sunday, thanking You for the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a precious friend and helper You promised to send. How grateful we are that we can call upon the Holy Spirit to guide and direct, to give us wisdom and discernment. Lord, we also come before You with grateful hearts as we observe D-Day this week for those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Be with those currently serving in the military and their families. Keep them safe and out of harm's way. Lord, we pray for our leaders that they will turn to You for wisdom and guidance in these troubling times. Lord, we lift those who are struggling with health issues, those scheduled for surgeries, facing difficult medical news, living in pain, nearing the end of their life. Lord, we know that You are the great physician, our peace and comforter. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, we pray for those graduating, whether high school or college. Keep them safe as they walk into their futures. Also, Lord, we pray for the Adams Elementary students as they prepare to attend camp next weekend. Open their hearts to hear the gospel message. Thank You for searching the hearts of those who are volunteering to go as their camp counselors. May Your mighty work be done, as we have heard this morning. Lord, we pray for those babies that were baptized today. We thank You that their parents have dedicated and baptized them to You, Lord, and we pray for their futures also. Lord, open our hearts to hear Your direction for us. We thank You for bringing people into our lives that we can reach for You. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And Lord, hear us today as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will you please rise as we sing the hymn of thanksgiving, number 67, Blessed Assurance.
Before you're seated, would you just greet one another with the blessing of God today? Then you may be seated. Hate to break it up. Some good loving going on here. So we're continuing on in this series about drops of grace. Last week we began to unpack the acronym of DROPS with the first letter D, developing relationships with the unsaved, with those who do not know Christ. We continue on with the letter R now, which is reaching the world with the gospel. And it's appropriate this morning because today is Pentecost. How many of you are aware when you came here that it was Pentecost? Some of you. It catches us by surprise sometimes. But today is Pentecost. If you can read about it in Acts chapter 1. It's when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples and they started uttering and hearing their own languages. And so it really was the beginning of the gospel going to the far corners of the world. It really was about reaching the world with the gospel. And it continues today that we continue to know that the gospel is being interpreted into native tongues and languages in places that most of us will never ever travel to. But this morning, we want to be reminded, first and foremost, of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that says this, that basically as we go about reaching the world with the gospel, that we need to always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's not our text this morning, but I want us to keep that in front of us, that even though we're developing relationships with people who do not know Christ, who do not know the love of God in their lives, at some time, God may tap us on the shoulder to actually speak and share the gospel. And so, and we're going to talk about that, Carolyn, this morning, because her first response was, like that. I know it's not for her, but for most of us it is. Yeah. But we're going to be looking at Paul's words to us in Romans 10. So you can turn to there, follow along on the screens, beginning at verse 13. Again, it's a very familiar passage, and my prayer is that we get something new from it this morning, which I know will happen, because God's bread, His manna, is fresh every day. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach or who offer good news. Join me in a word of prayer. Father God, I do pray now that you would help us to hear what you have for us today, that you would open and enlarge our hearts and our soul, our eyes and our ears to receive all that you have for us today. Lord, that upon hearing the written word, you would continue to remind us of the one who is the living word, your Son, Jesus Christ, for it's in His name I pray and give you the glory. Amen. So when it comes to reaching the world with the gospel, my first point is this, that reaching the world with the gospel, as Carolyn alluded to in just her hand illustration, is a frightening thing. Reaching the world with the gospel is a frightening thing. Sharing the gospel, or as we like to call it, doing evangelism, frightens two groups of people. Christians and non-Christians. Christians are afraid to share the gospel because of rejection or ridicule, mocking, sometimes verbal abuse that we might have to endure if we dare talk about our faith. Non-Christians are afraid of the gospel or afraid of somebody who wants to share the gospel with them out of fear of being condemned and judged and preached at. And we see that word in today's text, to preach. Well, as Christians, if we are rejected for the gospel, if we are ridiculed or mocked, if we receive some kind of verbal abuse because we're sharing our faith, well, we're in good company. You know the history of the early church and the persecutions that they endured. Throughout history, we know about the martyrs who have died because of their faith. We know even today, all around the world, there are Christians who are suffering for their faith in ways that you and I will probably never have to experience. In fact, one person wrote it this way. He said, rather than being met with a wall of hostility, Christians today basically are mostly being met with a wall of indifference and perceived irrelevance. Whether it's a wall of hostility or that's that apathy, it's that sense that the God and the church that we talked about last week are not relevant. They have no purpose in an individual's life. Whatever the opposition that is there, we are clearly called in our text this morning to risk, to be bold, to be daring, to share the gospel, to proclaim the good news. Paul makes it clear in verses 13 and 14. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But his concern is this. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now I realize that God can reveal himself. God can speak to people in ways without using human beings. We know from Romans chapter 1 that all of creation reveals the beauty, the power, the splendor of God in such a way that Paul says no one can have an excuse of not having an encounter or an awareness of a God, the creator of heaven and earth. I also know that the Bible, God's word to us, can be used in order to help somebody come to a living faith with Jesus Christ. That the Bible is alive and it is powerful. Somebody reading the Bible or hearing scripture, you know, can come to Christ and come to a living faith with their Lord and Savior. But that doesn't leave us off the hook. There was another episode in Acts where Philip, one of the disciples, came upon an Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch, it says, had been to the temple, had been to worship, been to church, was on his way home, pulled over, was sitting in his chariot, and was reading Isaiah. Philip comes upon him and asks the Ethiopian eunuch, says, do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch said, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? How can I unless somebody tells me what this means? See, people can go to church every Sunday. People can hear the Word of God. People can read their Bible, but still not comprehend what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I, if we are willing, if we are available, if we are ready, might be used by God to help explain the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that leads me to our next point, that reaching the world with the gospel is frightening, but it's a spoken thing. And that's where it gets frightening, is when we have to say something. It's when we have to talk about God or Jesus. You know, some probably would rather just say, you know, can't I just be a good Christian? Can't I just go to church every week, put money in the offering plates, go out into the world and live a good Christian life? Isn't that good enough? Won't people see Jesus in me by just simply living a good life? After all, they might say, Jesus said, let your light shine before others that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, through your good deeds and your good Christian walk, that people might be able to come and understand who God is. Or in 1 Peter 2:12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Yes, your Christian life, our Christian behavior can make a difference in somebody's life. We can be that drop of grace for them. Our good works are being watched by others, and they can have an impact and bring somebody to a saving faith in God. How we live our Christianity, how we display our faith, how we love others well with drops of grace speaks volumes to people. But let me ask you a question. How good of a Christian are you? Do you live your life every day, every moment in such a way that people will see Jesus in you? Or, if we're honest, are there times, are there moments when we don't give God a good reputation, that we don't offer good works and good behavior. When I was in seminary studying to become a minister, I also was working part-time at a church in Los Angeles, and I had an appointment in Orange County that I was late for, so I got in my car, and I got to the freeway. In Southern California, the freeways are packed morning, noon, and night, and so it was a traffic jam, and so I decided to ride on the shoulder for a while. Save some time, right? Until I looked in my rearview mirror. And there was the California Highway Patrolman on his motorcycle pulling me over. Well, I didn't have to pull over. I was already over on the shoulder. So I thought, oh my gosh. And it dawned on me, I don't even have my wallet. It's back at the church that I just left, where I work. I roll down the window. A police officer comes up to me. He kind of looks in at me and says, "Do you know what you were doing?" And I'm like, "Yes, I know. I should not have been driving on the shoulder." "Do you realize that you have an ichthus on the back of your car?" That's that Christian fish symbol that we put. I wanted to say, "Well, I just bought the car and it came with it." But that would be a lie. Well, I learned my lesson that day, and I went home, and I did the only thing I could do. I took that sticker off my car. Not really, that's a lie too. But I did learn, all these years later, I'm still reminded of the fact that I don't often represent God well. That I don't often have good behavior that will allow somebody to see Jesus in me. And that is why Paul tells us that we need to be ready and available to preach, to proclaim the good news of Christ. He says, "And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching," or more accurately, without there being a preacher, a messenger, an evangel of good news, a messenger. However you call it, preaching, preacher, messenger, that term, that phrase can have negative connotations, and for good reason sometimes. Some people have been turned off to God, have been turned off to the church, have been turned off to Christianity because they always feel like they are being preached at. And that the Bible, the gospel, is used to beat them over the head. And sometimes when we try to offer the good news in a strong-armed way, we do more damage than good. You know, there have been a lot of plane crashes due to flying birds into the windshields, into the engines. And so the FAA eventually created a device for testing the strength of windshields on airplanes. Some call it the chicken gun or the chicken cannon. The cannon or the gun is pointed at the windshield of the aircraft, and a dead chicken is shot at about the speed the aircraft normally flies at it. If the windshield doesn't break, it's likely to survive a real collision with the bird during flight. Well, the British at that same time had developed a brand new locomotive that could carry a train faster than anyone ever before. But they weren't sure if its windshield was strong enough, so they borrowed the chicken cannon from the FAA. They reset to approximate the maximum speed of the locomotive, they loaded in the dead chicken and fired it at the locomotive. The bird, however, went through the windshield. It broke the engineer's chair and made a major dent in the back wall of the engine cap. Something went wrong. So they were quite surprised, and they reached out to the FAA to check the test to see if everything was done correctly. The FAA checked everything and suggested that they might do another test, and this time with a thawed out chicken. You see, sometimes when we try to share the gospel, we end up using a frozen chicken, and it can do a lot of damage. Back to 1 Peter 3:15 that I shared earlier, he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But then he goes on and he says, yet do it with gentleness and respect, with a thawed chicken, in a loving way, in a respectful manner. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Even if we use a thawed chicken, even if we use drops of grace, even if we are loving people well, even if we present the gospel in a gentle, kind, respectful way, there will still be people who do not want to hear a thing we have to say. There will still be people who won't believe what we say. There will be people who won't accept what we have to say. We just continue to plant seeds. We just continue to make ourselves available to God to be prepared at all times in order to give an answer for the hope, for the faith, for the joy that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then perhaps somebody else will come along later and water that seed, fertilize it, tend to it. But in the end, God alone saves. God alone brings that person to himself. But he uses us, broken and flawed as we are, to bring the gospel, to share the good news of Christ. Paul goes on in verse 15 and he says, how are they to preach unless they are sent? Well, some of you might say, well, that's it. That's my way out because I've not been sent. I'm not a preacher. I haven't been to seminary. I'm not the one that got pulled over by a cop when I was running on the shoulder. You're the preacher. You're the evangelist. That's not my calling. That's not my area. That's not my... Well, Jesus might have something different to say. Because just before he ascended into heaven, he told the disciples, and it carries weight all the way through to today. He says, go. All of you, go. And make disciples of all nations. So you see, we have, each and every one of us, we have been sent. And Jesus doesn't use those instructions to beat us over the head. He doesn't want us to feel the burden or the obligation, the duty that it's up to us. We've got to go out there and tell people about the good news. No. He wants us to see that it's a beautiful thing. This responsibility, this privilege we have is a beautiful thing. So the final point, reaching the world with the gospel is a beautiful thing. You know, the word evangelism, the beauty of it is that it means a message of good news. That we are those who are used by God simply to bring a message of good news, of great joy. That a Savior, Jesus Christ, came to earth and died for your sins. That through his death and resurrection, you might have eternal life. That is good news. That's a beautiful, beautiful word that we can give, that we should give, that God wants us to give. It goes on, Paul says in verse 15, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach, who bring, who offer, who share the good news. He's quoting Isaiah 52:7. Isaiah at that time was speaking to the Israelites who were in captivity in Babylon. And he says, but how beautiful are the feet of those on the mountains who are going to come to you one day and tell you that you are now set free. How beautiful that message is going to be for the Israelites who are in exile when they see this messenger coming to them. It's going to be a sight for sore eyes. Because he's going to come with great news that they're going to be set free, no longer captives, that they can go back to their homes. You and I have that same message. We have a message that can set people free, free from sin, free from death. Oh, and our feet are going to be beautiful to those who hear that message. Not because of our feet. We're not beautiful because of who we are or what we do. We have a beautiful message. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. We have a story to tell. A story that can change the life of one individual. And then the ripple effects could reach distant shores. When I was in college, my last year of college in Spokane at Whitworth, I ran the Bloomsday Run, a 10K. I'd never done one before. I haven't done one since. But I trained for that event with a bunch of friends. We worked hard, and the day of the event came, and I started running. And I got to this place that is called Death Hill. And I looked at that hill, and it was daunting. I was so tired already. I was exhausted. I'm sure I didn't pace myself well at the beginning. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to get up there. But I started running up that hill. And then jogging up that hill. And then walking up that hill. As wheelchairs were flying by me. Then I got to the top of that hill. And I was exhausted. I had nothing left in me. But there was still more of the race. And I looked up. About from here to the back of the sanctuary. Oh, there it was. It was a beautiful thing. It was the water station. I thought, I'm going to go there. I'm going to sit. I'm going to take in all the water I need. I don't care how fast I run this 10K. Well, you know what was even more beautiful? Is that as I approached the station, I didn't have to go to them. They came to me. They came out with cups of water. And I poured one over me and I drank one. I don't know if I did, but it's a good story. And I kept running. And I kept going. There are people in this world who are exhausted. Who are at the end of themselves. Who are tired. Who are thirsty. Who are dying by the side of the road. And we can pass them by. And we can keep that good news to ourselves. Or we can turn to them. And we can give them the hope that we have. We can give to them that living water of Christ. So that they can get in the race. They can be a part of the journey. You know, that's what it means when Isaiah and Paul refer to the beautiful feet of those who bring good news. That as we offer ourselves to people, as we love people well, as we offer drops of grace, as we come alongside of people in this race that they're in, where they're tired and weary and have no hope, have no sense of purpose. They don't know what the finish line is all about and what's going to happen to them after this world. As we come alongside of them, we're going to be the most beautiful people in the world. Again, not because of us. But clearly, I don't have beautiful feet, but I have a beautiful message. In this text this morning, there's a sense of urgency that Paul has. And he says people can be saved if they would just turn to God. But how are they going to turn to God whom they don't believe? How are they going to believe in somebody that they've never even heard about? How are they going to hear about God unless somebody tells them? And how is somebody going to tell them unless you get out of their pews, out of the church and into the streets and start sharing the gospel? I wonder if we've lost that sense of urgency. If we don't realize that those people who are dying by the side of the road, that we have what they need. C.S. Lewis said this, Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. The gospel, the good news, the love of Christ, the streams of living water that are given to us when we receive the grace of God, that is of infinite importance to a dying world. And so, as we go from here today, open your eyes, Jesus says. Look at the fields. They're ripe. They're ready. May we be instruments of good news. May we be heralds of the gospel. May we have beautiful feet shod with the shoes of righteousness and the shoes of the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are not worthy of being used by you to be a part of your plan to reach the world with the gospel. But Father, forgive us for our excuses, for our lack of urgency, for our laziness. Father, put a fire within us. Lift us. Rise us up. Use us to not just be a light, but to be a word. To be messengers of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. For it's in His name I pray. Amen.
Now we're going into our time of giving and our response to Bill's message. And if you're a guest here, we welcome you. We have a Connect card that is in your bulletin and in the pews. If you would please fill that out and let us know that you're here. If you are new, you can go to the Connect Center and get a coffee card to go to the, what's it called, grounds of, higher grounds, is that what it is? Coffee stand over here. And please know that you are so welcome here. Also, everybody else, fill out the Connect card and put it into the plates as the collection plates. If you put a prayer request, our staff prays for you each week, and they count that an honor to be able to pray for you and your needs. We have a couple of announcements. With a prayer and healing night, we have a service on Tuesday, June 11th. That will be in the chapel beginning at 6:30 for a time of worship and 7 o'clock with a brief teaching and prayer. VBS is coming in 2 weeks. I'm going to be the Bible discovery leader, so if you guys want to come and have a really great time and love on children and learn more about your faith even, as the kids are learning, you will be learning too. So stop by the sign-up if you haven't signed up. Children can, from four-year-olds to fifth graders, can be registered online, and the price goes up next week, so on the 14th. And there's a leaders meeting on Sunday, June 23rd, the youth at 3 and everybody else at 3:30. So would the ushers please come forward? While we're doing our offering, ushers, you can come forward. With more of our announcements will be playing on the screen so you can see other areas of service that you may be praying for or getting involved with. So let us pray. Lord, today we pray especially for Campbell Farm as we dedicate the bags of hope that you have brought today. We thank you for the generous support of our church that will go to this community. And we thank you that you are giving us opportunities, Vacation Bible School and Bags of Hope and Vacation and the outreach camp, Lord, for us to show our love for you, Lord. And we thank you today that you give us a voice, Lord. May we be a voice to those who are dying in our world, those that you will put in front of us today. May we open our eyes to clearly see those you have given us to preach the message to. May we be the beautiful feet that bring the gospel of peace to those dying souls, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you give us, and we dedicate our tithes, our offerings, to you for your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing as we sing our hymn of response, 621, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
In between services in the garden room, we did celebrate all those who are our covenant partners, new here with us at Grace. I don't know if there's any more cake left. Probably not. Just about three pieces. So you may have to run and get out there if you want a piece of cake. But, but now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He turn His countenance toward you and give you peace now and forever. Amen. God bless.